We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks. $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code LIGHTYEARS. That's right, guys. You deposit $100, Prize Picks coming through, they're going to give you another $100. Welcome to LIGHTYEARS, guys. Warriors win 133-110 against the Houston Rockets. And Andy Liu, I got a take for you. I got a take to open it up right now.
Let's go.
Andrew Bogut once said, they know they're moving the ball well when Klay Thompson goes off. And in many ways, I feel like Klay is the litmus test of if the Warriors are the Warriors. Since they put Trace Jackson Davis in the starting lineups, they feel, they look like the Warriors. The way they play, the way they move, the way they defend, the way they get out in transition, the way they share the ball in the half court, move everything, it feels like the Warriors. And you know what? April 4th, better late than never, my man.
Yes, agreed. Do not disagree. I cannot make a counterpoint to that, really, for any reason. I think the only time you could have argued against what you just said was, hey, they won four in a row against relatively bad teams. They just beat the Dallas Mavericks at home, playing like the Warriors that we know and love. And they just beat the Houston Rockets, who've had a hot stretch here on the road. And the lead never got under 10 from the first quarter on, essentially. They comfortably won this game. We didn't get any bullshit Houston runs down the stretch. We didn't get an absurd crunch time choke. This felt like the Warriors that we watched in 2022. It felt like the Warriors that we watched, obviously, through the dynasty years. I'm not saying that's the same exact team, but the style is what you're saying. The style, the way that they're playing these games are exactly the same. The comments just threw this out there, so I'm going to toss this back to you. They had 21 turnovers, and it didn't affect them. That's always turn the ball over, right? Always. Mm-hmm. And lately, we've seen them turn the ball over and lose games, and tonight they turn the ball over, and you're like, okay, that's fine, because they're back to who they are. Were.
I'd love them to be a low turnover team, but I made peace with that not happening at least 5 years ago. You know, like I gave up on the Steph Draymond Warriors will never be a low turnover team. They just, you know, get middle of the road and I'll be satisfied. That's like, I'm shooting for that. But yeah, no. And I do think it starts with Trace Jackson Davis in a lot of ways, because yes. I feel like there's a snowball effect, because since he's been inserted into the starting lineup, I feel like we've seen the best version of Draymond Green that we've seen since the beginning of 2022. When they got off to that 18-2 start, Draymond looked like 2016 Draymond there. He looked like the best defensive player of all time. You know, he's just disruptive in every way. And since they put Trace in there and Draymond's been able to go to being more of a roamer, a help defender, like Trace will handle center duties. Wiggins will guard the best perimeter player. And Draymond can do what he does best, which is just blow shit up. that, like, in some ways, if you just tailor your defense towards making Draymond the best version of Draymond, it makes you so much better. It's like if you tailor your offense to Steph, your offense will be great.
It feels like, now I'm going off, I'm riffing off of your take now with the TJD stuff. Mm-hmm. It feels like the Warriors are fitting back to what those guys excelled to. And mm-hmm. and I'm going to try to land this thing here. They're fitting to what Steph likes doing. They're fitting to what Draymond likes doing. You just said it defensively. They're fitting. And if those two fit, it's going to fit to what Klay likes doing, is just get out there, chuck, get hot, do all that fun stuff he's been doing forever. And alternatively, I think even though they were successful doing it and he's had quite a bit of a breakout, they were changing the way that they were playing to what Kuminga style was, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a different style. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's not really what the Warriors have been successful doing through the years. And people are going to argue and say, like, hey, they need to find a changeup to what they've been doing before, right? They need to do something different. They can't just play the same style forever. And that's what Kuminga does very well. He pressures the rim very well. But now that they're able to go back to what's made them so, so, so good, and Steph's playing better and Klay's playing a lot better and Draymond just has less stuff to bear on defense, I think has gone back to what's made them so good. Now, I think the question is, because we're going to talk some Kuminga tonight for sure, is how do you find that balance? You want to keep playing this way, but you also don't want to lose what Kuminga brings, because they're going to need what he brings to become even better, right? Like, that's the best of both worlds is what they need. So I think this just, what I'm trying to say is just they're just going back to what's made them so good. And it's, when was the last time they blew out a team that was good like this comfortably? Since it's
I mean, in not general, they just don't beat good. They just haven't beaten good teams all year, right? Like, that's for the other. That's the other part of it. And I'm playing with the numbers right now.
Okay.
The Warriors are on a 6-game win streak. I'm going to use the stretch since Draymond came back post Deki's tragic passing. I hate using that as like a, you know, kind of like a marker, but like they did take 10 days off and they did feel like a new team after that than before that, right? So it is like a good date to start up until Kuminga got hurt. The Warriors went 19-12 during that span, which is good. They played good basketball in that span. In that span, they were the 12th best team in terms of point differential. It kind of matches the eye test. They were above average, but they weren't elite. They're a solid team. 19-12 is a solid team. Not a great team, but a solid team. When they went up against the Boston and Minnesota's of the world, they felt like they were lacking. But when they went up against the middle of the road teams, you're like, you know, they're just as good, if not better, than these guys. So that, I think it's an accurate measure. 31 games, also a pretty fair sample. The other thing, the thing to call out in that span that's interesting to me, though, is obviously they went with the starting lineup of Steph, Pajemski, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond. And sometimes it was Klay instead of Pajemski, but they always went with Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond in the front court. Yep. In that span, when they were in that span where Kuminga was starting, they were 13th in defense, 114.2 points per 100 possessions. Kind of matches the eye test in the sense of, forget the numbers, 13th in the league screams middle of the road, maybe a shade better than middle of the road, right? 15th is average. 13th is a little better than average. Not elite, not terrible. That's exactly how I would have described their defense during that stretch. They had enough competency, but it wasn't elite. I only bring that up to say, since they've plugged Trayce Jackson-Davis into the starting lineup, they have the best defense in the NBA.
Really?
It's a small sample. It's certainly not a level of sample that like means anything. Like it's 6 games, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, man, wow, best defense in the league. I mean, it matches the eye test. It's just
funny. Yeah, and they look phenomenal defensively, and we can explain why. In fact, I think we already did explain why. You know. Dave,
I'm not even like, I don't even care about the offense, man. You're hitting it right on the head. It's all about the defense.
Right? Right? No, it's one of those things where I'm just like, man, these guys, Draymond gets to do what he does best, which is be as disruptive as humanly possible. Sorry, I misspoke. They have been the fifth best defense in this span going into tonight. Tonight will probably move them up to third. But when Trace has been on the floor, they've been the best defense in the NBA. The Draymond, Trace, Wiggins lineup has been the best lineup in the NBA the last 2 weeks.
Got it. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, it's obvious when you watch the games. I think a lot of people, you know, the easy thing is like, oh, TJD is a vertical rim threat. He's catching a lot. Tonight he went for, I mean, he didn't miss a shot to the fourth quarter, right? He had his first 20-plus point game in the NBA. And you're like, oh, my God, this is really what they're missing. And to me, it's like freaking Andre Drummond could score 20 points in the NBA. Like, that's not special to me. I'm sorry. It's not special. What's special to me is TJD's able to play defense as a five in the NBA, which is so exponentially more difficult for a center. Just ask the centers that have taken that spot as a Warrior the last 5 years. You know what I mean? It's so hard. Looney has been played off the floor now because of whatever it is, injuries, just age, whatever, right? And TJD's just kind of, I know he's older as a rookie, but he's just stepped in and just understood NBA defense. He's understood how to play screens. He's understood how to rebound. He's understood how to do all the little things that it looked like. He's not a great shot blocker. He's not this like amazing athletic dude defensively, just because he's smaller than other true centers. But at the same time,
he's strong though, man. He's strong.
Right. But he's older. He's older. He's stronger. He's played the five like that forever. And I go back to this, and this goes for offense and defense. Trayce Jackson-Davis, and I never followed him through high school and college. I guarantee you though, he wasn't the guy that's always been, all right, you give it to me, let me go to work. You give it to me, let me be Joel Embiid. And his mindset's not, let me be Joel Embiid, right? His mindset has always been, let me just be the five, and if I can get 20 points just being a good rim roller, passer, all that stuff. And I don't know, man, you just put a capable big. The thing is, like, apparently the Warriors have found it impossibly hard to find a capable big next to Draymond, but you put a capable big next to Draymond. The last time they did that, they won a championship. So
I do think there's two things that you're kind of downplaying. I think he's a better athlete than he gets credit for. He's definitely a switchable big. Is he Anthony Davis? No, you know, but like, he's not stiff. He can move his feet. He could definitely move a little laterally.
He stayed in front of Jalen Green a few times tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah. And he's done it the entire trip. He stayed in front of Luka a little bit. You know, he stayed in front of Kyrie a little bit. Again, obviously, you don't want him on an island guarding those guys, but like, for a big, it's like, can you hold them? Can you do enough? Can you not get exposed in this space? And he's more than athletic enough. And to your point, he kind of has the fundamentals down and the feel down. You know, Fitz is talking 4-year college player, but it's true. Steve Kerr is not necessarily the best development coach. He is an excellent coach if you know the basics. He'll bring it out of you, you know, like he's like, and Trayce Jackson-Davis is, you know, 4 years in college. He knows how to set a screen. He understands basic concepts on defense and offense. He understands spacing. He all that stuff. Well, if you understand all that stuff, Steve Kerr is the coach who's going to take you to the next level and make you look maybe better than you even are in some ways. Right. Yeah. Whereas like, you know, drafting one and dones or guys who didn't play college ball, I don't know if Steve's the guy to like teach you how to set a screen and do all the basics there, but you know, that kind of speaks to, he fits perfectly and actually works out great for Joe, because Joe just got himself a nice starting center for like $1 million a year for the next 3 years from age 24 to 27. You know, he's like locked in to, I mean, That's why, like, if you hit on draft picks, it's great. You're locked in on cheap guys.
In all sports, hitting on draft picks is great.
Right.
Hey, let's talk Trace's offense real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we're talking about his defense, and he does all the little stuff defensively. This team also doesn't do great stuff defensively. Now it feels like they trust each other a little more with TJD there rebounding. But offensively, in the Warriors offense, the big is really used as a primary passer and screener and really nothing else, right? They're not really used as finishers. They're not really ever told to shoot a shot, honestly. I think there have been games or weeks go by where centers just don't shoot more than like 2 or 3 shots a game. And some of that is like, just that's because you've got Looney on the team. It's because it's Zaza. Right. It's because it's those guys. And then the other part is like guys that can score, like Wiseman can score. He could objectively just can't stay on the floor because he can't do anything else other than those things. Right. So TJD kind of fits the like kind of Bogut. Like, he's not as good as Bogut on defense because Bogut, remember, was all defense. But he's got a little Bogut passing to him. He got a little Bogut passing to him, which is,
there was that play in the first quarter where it's a classic Warriors play, most classic for Draymond. He catches the ball off a pick and roll, and he makes the second pass to Clay in the corner. Clay cutting the corner, hits it. We've seen that play 1,000, maybe 2,000 times, you know? And that's it. That's like, if you're a Warriors big and you're able to make the extra pass and you have the awareness to do it, you're going to stay on the floor for a long time.
Extra pass is hard, man. It looks easy for us because, you know, it's not.
Dude, if it was easy, every big could play in this system. And as we've learned over the years, most bigs can't, right?
No. I think TJD actually can play in any system. That's actually the interesting thing. Is like,
sure.
I think Kevon Looney, we love him. I love him. Like, Kevon Looney, there's a reason why, you know, nobody paid him. Although now you look at his contract, it looks a little nuts. But like TJD feels like he might be able to play on every single team in the NBA. It's not just like he fits the Warriors offense, right?
Because he's athletic too, and that's kind of the cool thing, because we're talking about his passing and we're kind of describing him like a late career Bogut or Looney. But you know what those guys didn't do? Those dudes didn't get 20.
Make it free, you know? Make it free.
Yeah. 8 for 10. I mean, the thing that he adds that bigs that they've had in the past don't have is like he can make the screen first. He knows how to set a screen. He can make the extra pass, which I think is the most important trait for a big in the Warriors offense. Like, if you can't run a dribble handoff or make the extra pass, like, sorry, Steve's playing 8 minutes max. That's it, you know. But he could also finish. He can finish inside. If he has a one-on-one, he's got the quickness to finish over a guy. He got a couple lobs in there. And given the spacing the team has, like, he's going to walk into a lot of, maybe not 20, but he's going to walk into a lot of 12.
10, 12 points.
15, stuff like that, just off of, like, I don't know if they ran a play for him, but he just finished, like, 5 or 6 plays. And that's an element that maybe they haven't had over the years. That's pretty cool to have.
It feels, and I compared this to my buddy who I've played hoops with for a long time, Ron, shout out my boy, but he gets these points because he does what TJD does. He just runs up and down the court, which is, you think is easy, but nobody can actually do it. And he just gets a cheap 10 points, but you know, there's no such thing as cheap 10 points because 10 points is 10 points. Like, 10 points is 10 points that someone else couldn't do. Anybody could say, like, oh, you can just run up and down and get a lob. But it's like, no, like, he's got the feel to go to where he needs to be to get the lob. He's setting good screens. You know what I mean? Like, I think it
also
looks easy.
Also, just
never is. It never is.
And getting those points while doing the other stuff. That's been the real issue for the Warriors.
It's
always been, like, the trade-off. It's like, okay, JaVale or Wiseman can get those points,
right?
But they can't make the pass. They can't defend. They can't do a bunch of other stuff. All right, Looney can do everything we need, but
that's a good point.
Bro looks like he's working so hard getting up and down the court. So having someone who could do both things, pretty exciting.
Trace Jackson Davis with Wiseman's body per the comment. Sam, what type of player is that in the NBA? Is that Giannis?
That is Giannis. That is, you put Trace's mind inside Wiseman, that's Giannis.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It is, you know, like, I don't know if I'll ever develop a jump shot, but Giannis hasn't developed a jump shot. So it's, you know, you have the 7-foot every athletic outlier gift, but then you got enough IQ, and Giannis, for his lack of shooting, he does have a point guard kind of like feel as a passer. So I'll always give him that. He's a good passer.
Yeah, decent enough feel. Giannis seems underrated at this point in his career, but we'll see. We'll give him this postseason.
I have too many. I'm in too many group chats with Bucks fans. I think he's overrated. They drive me insane.
Yeah, so, I don't hear that, luckily. But we're not talking Bucks. The vibes are very good with the Warriors right now.
One thing to wrap up this segment, Steve Kerr just said this. I'm gonna play it.
Go away from that five wins when Jonathan comes back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's we've established something here for years. If we're playing well, we generally keep the same starting lineup. And I mean, I've kept Steph and Draymond out of the starting lineup when they've been in that situation. So we'll see how we play it. We've got some guys banged up. Wiggs obviously missed the whole fourth. So we'll see how healthy we are tomorrow and figure out our lineup. But my philosophy is always if you're playing well, you keep doing the same thing.
Yeah. Are you surprised? I knew Steve was going to get here. It's just a question of how is he going to land the plane? You know, how's he gonna do it gently? Like he's not an idiot. And he likes to win games. He knows this lineup's rolling and we're in playoff time, right? We're in playoff time. So it's kind of like, JK, you might play 32 minutes, but I'm starting you off the bench just because this is working right now.
Yeah. I think arguing whether it's a raw deal or not is pointless right now because, mm-hmm. like you said, team's a 10 seed and they're trying to make the playoffs. This is like they got to win and they're on the 5-game win streak. Comments point this out. I keep referencing back to the comments. We're live on playback right now and it's the best because they can actually tell us what the hell is going on. I still have it half the time. And someone points out, like, look, man, the knee is more of an issue here. Like, less so Kuminga starting, Kuminga not starting. Is Kuminga going to close? He's going to play, like you said, he can play 30 minutes, he can play 28 minutes. But it's like, dude, he's been out a long time. And we were told he was going to play tonight, Thursday night, against the Houston Rockets, and he didn't. And we imagine he's going to play tomorrow, whatever, maybe. But you know me, I'm a fretter. I fret. And a 21-year-old with unreal NBA top tier athleticism that has knee issues, I'm fretting. I'm fretting.
It's only been 10 days.
10 days, a lot of days.
Maybe 12. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of days. I don't, look, I'm not going to speculate on the medical stuff, but here's where I'm at. This is the best you've looked all year. You're not changing your lineup. It's that simple. It's that fucking simple. And you know what? JK might look even better. In which case, he could force the lineup change. But we got 6 games left in the season.
Mm.
6 games left in the season, and then they're in a single elimination tournament. They're not getting out of the play-in. I don't think anyone is still thinking that's possible. So you kind of just got to go with what's working and figure it out. You know, it just is what it is. I don't view it, and I don't think JK would view it negatively either. It's just that time of year. I think if it was January, there'd be more politics involved. Yeah. But it's not January. It's April. It's tomorrow's April 5th. So
yeah. To me, I mean, Wiggins also looks like he hurt his ankle, didn't play the fourth quarter tonight. I thought he was actually playing pretty well. His numbers didn't end up looking great, but yeah.
Looks like he hurt. A little bit of a tweak. Probably not going to play against the Mavericks tomorrow. Maybe an opportunity to get him back in there. Moses Moody, whatever. So it's
you're getting 35, right? You're getting 35 minutes. Who cares? Like coming if you're playing well, you're closing the game. I mean, it's theoretically it's that simple, but
it knows? Is that simple. Yeah. It is that simple.
We are the Light Years Podcast and brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. Sam, for those listening right now, I will be at Giants opening day. I got Giants opening day tickets to see Jordan Hicks, 106 miles per hour fastball. Got those tickets via Game Time. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total upfront, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. You buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last minute tickets. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and roll for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, spell code LIGHT YEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Let's get to, we're getting to the goons in a minute, but you know, I think we got another segment to get to. You know, tournament this weekend. I think everyone's hyped on the women's tournament right now. Everyone's hyped on this tournament. So this is the Andy Lou parlay, Andy Portnoy playing. All right, walk us through your plays on Saturday, because we're gonna go through this, and I'm gonna let you know how bad your predictions were Sunday. But you know what? You have right now. You can fucking puff your chest out and tell me how good your picks are.
Ooh, yeah, we'll be back Sunday night. Look, listen, download the app today. Use code LightYears. First deposit match up to $100. You guys know the deal. LightYears. First deposit match up to $100. All right. So here's the thing. These are the three best players in women's basketball. Right. This is the number one pick, number two pick, number three pick. If they were all coming out today, so it's easy for me. You throw all of them in a parlay. You got Paige Beckers. 26.5 points more. She plays in a Steve Kerr offense, but I'm taking that every single time. It's a big game. Caitlin Clark, 33.5. I mean, like, dude, do we really have to go through this? Do we 41?
I'm wondering if Gino's gonna do the Ty Lue bullshit defense on her, where it's like anyone but Caitlin, and she gets 15 assists or something like that.
She's a great passer too. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. She's a great passer, right? So you're right, but. For spirit of the game, best player in the world, best women's player in the world, just shoot from further. You know what I mean? I will be watching every second of that. And then the third one is the best big woman in the world, Camila Cardoso. So I feel like she's not talked about as much.
Not really. Today. Not really. Any other context you could say that expression and not get in trouble. But you know.
But thanks to Prize Picks, we can do it. And they are the best team. They're actually the best team. The South Carolina Gamecocks are actually the best team, which I was told, which I've researched. I've done a lot of research on women's basketball. And she actually was the one that outdueled Angel Reese. Look at that. So I've got my Prize Picks knowledge. I've got my women's basketball knowledge. So I'm going more on 15.5 points. More on all of them. All of them, Sam. And it doesn't even have to price her, but it's an easy 5X. When this hits for me, because I download the app and I use the code LightYears for first deposit match up to $100. It's easy money.
We'll see. I put all my money on the ED over on Saturday. Yeah. So playing the men's tournament, 100 doesn't matter. He's getting it.
No, what's the number
for Zach ED?
For ED, yeah, for ED. What is he at? Because what do you have? 41 last week, something crazy like that. I mean, like. I
don't have it in front of me real quick, so don't put me on the spot. But I'm just taking the over.
Shout out to Edie. Half Asian, by the way. Half Chinese, I've been told. That's what they tell me. So good for him.
All right. Let's get to it real quick. I got to ask you one real Warriors question, and then goons, we're taking you right now. Do you believe this team can get out of the play-in? I'm not even going to fuck a title right now. Right now, they're going to be the 10 seed in all likely scenario. And in some ways, you know what? We've been talking about Klay Thompson. But in some ways, I can't, like, you win 40, you close the year winning, like, 8 out of your last 10, and you can't get out of the 10 seed. It just kind of is what it is in some ways. But do you think they're going to make the playoffs? Because I see the Sacramento Kings lost today. There's a very realistic chance that the Kings, who've lost Malik Monk and Herder for the season, and in general, I feel like, I don't want to say they've been worse than last year, but they haven't built on last year, right? Very realistic chance that the Lakers pass them, and it's the Warriors-Kings in that 9-10 game. And as you're looking at the standings right now, with the Pelicans missing Ingram, might get Lakers-Pelicans in 7-8. If that's the draw, I will be disappointed if the Warriors don't make the playoffs, because they should beat the Kings. I think the Lakers will take care of business against the shorthanded Pelicans, and I take the Warriors' chance against the Pelicans. I know it's a 10 seed. I don't even know what it means if they make the playoffs, to be honest with you, but like, do you believe that they can make the playoffs? Wow. That they will?
Wow. And then you take a step further. What if they play the Thunder in their first round? Pretty sweet matchup. pretty good matchup against the Thunder. A couple of teams that are pretty small. They don't really have a rim protector. SGA in the playoffs. Battling a quad injury.
I kind of want the Wolves, not going to lie to you.
Hey, you could sell me on the Wolves easily. I'm with you on that. You know, I just think the Thunder would be a cool matchup too. But yeah, I mean, just not the Nuggets, right? Obviously, the Warriors aren't going to do much with the Nuggets, not at this point in their careers. But woo, you're selling me right now, and you're selling me on a realistic path. Because if you're telling me the Warriors get the Kings on the road, home doesn't matter, in free fall, and they get the Pelicans after that, man, how can I put that on Prize Picks? It's my thought.
Our Prize Picks plays, if the draw works out that way, going to be good. Going to be good. Adam, Uncle Adam will be coming through for us, making sure that the Warriors and the Lakers get the favorable draw to get into the playoffs. We know the TV deal's on the line. This isn't just about Andy and Sam. This is about everyone right now.
This is about the future of the NBA is what this is.
Do you want, like, Timberwolves, Pelicans, first round?
Bro,
that's I hate to say it, but you know, they're gonna be outdrawn by the Little League World Series. It's a problem. It's not great, you know.
That's an NBA problem that they haven't been able to market Zion actually as the 8 seed. That should have been something that they should have done a better job on, because Zion's actually quietly had a really good season.
Excellent. Yeah. Really, like, you know, everyone kind of wrote him off as a joker.
Yeah.
I wonder why. But looking damn good right now. Should we get some goons?
Yeah, let's go to the goons.
Ken's going to hit lead off for us. I know Ken's got the positive vibes for us.
Hey, guys.
Sir.
What's up, Ken?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm in a great mood.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, right?
Winning is the best deodorant, right?
Oh my gosh. Trace is the best deodorant
for this defense. Yeah.
You know, if you really look back at this whole season, starting with, I think it was against the Pelicans, where the team had like a 20-point lead at New Orleans, and Trace played, maybe Draymond was out that game or something, and they kept the lead. It was one of the only games the first half of the season where they kept the lead in the fourth quarter. With all those inside shots, I've compared that to like John Riggins, the running game, you know. But like what you were saying earlier, Sam, it's just complete with Trace at the five and Draymond as a rover. And also the extra buckets made, where then the defense goes back and gets set up after a bucket that was made, instead of a Houston Rockets like 37 missed free throw in a row type of an offense, you know. But I got a couple of points from what we've seen over this last couple of weeks. First of all, Steve Kerr is an absolute world-class expert gaslighter. And he's been doing it all year. He's been doing it all year. And I just want to share this with the fans, because we have our little arguments about they can't play. They got to play Podziemski because he connects things. They can't play Moody. He can't guard the POA. It's all bullshit. Whatever Steve says at the podium, he's saying at the moment, he's not talking to us. He's saying what he needs to say to protect the egos of his players and try to get them to the finish line in a good, coherent sense. And I love it. I love that about him. He's a great coach, but sometimes he's just full of shit. You know what I mean? And, you know, like the, I got to only play nine so we get into a rhythm and all that stuff. Bullshit. All this whole season could have been 10 man rotations or 11 man. Anyway, but the point is, for whatever reason, after that lovely first week of the season where we were seeing minutes distributions like we're getting right now, we're getting those minutes distributions again. 29-minute Clay has some bounce in his legs. Draymond, under 30 minutes a game.
Let's go.
What a player. Steph at 29, 30 minutes a game has a little something left, you know. Frankly, I thought they could have even played him a little bit less tonight, but he wanted to seal the win. Although, how many times this season have we watched the vets fail to seal the win? Anyway, I'm just
appreciate you, Ken.
Super excited. See you later, guys.
Let's have a good one.
My man. Good man. Kirk gaslighting has me. You know, that's part of coaching, though, right?
It is. It is part of coaching. You see this from Steph? It's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet right now. I'm gonna throw it up there. He threw up the Warriors come out and play.
Oh my goodness.
Absolute just petty. Totally just I don't know if you'd like the movie. I'm curious, Andy. Watch the movie. Let me know what you think. It's very 70s.
I also haven't seen it. I was a kid.
But it's like it's entertaining.
Wow,
it's entertaining.
You know, it's what makes the it's what makes Steph so great is you know, no matter how old he gets, no matter how he's playing, he's always got that dog in him. He's always gonna be the guy that if you hear something, he played great tonight, right? Like 29-6-6. It just like, I brought up him.
Didn't say a fucking word and just waited till after they blew the Rockets out to just be like, quiet, kid, quiet. That's
Tari, can we talk 2 seconds on Tari Eason, who I think, you know, has a pretty good future in the NBA if he can get past that injury, but kind of just your classic 20-year-old kid who little in over his head, happy, excited. Like, I don't think he's a bad person. I don't feel like he is, but just, you know, calm down a little bit, you know, and like, you know.
I liked it. I liked the vibe they brought.
The league, right? Good for the
league. And also good for the Warriors. I feel like they need, they need a little like, it spice it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah. We are Light Years Podcast brought to you by Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete like Steph or a podcaster, world-class podcaster like Sam and I, we all understand the importance of medical and physical well-being, proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and a super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation, whether you're here in the Bay or hundreds of other locations around the globe. Access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more. Find a center near you. That's UNIFYD healing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider. Any questions you may have regarding a medical condition, treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
I want to play Ime Udoka real quick, who is my favorite. I don't know if he's my favorite coach. Like, my favorite coach is Eric Spoelstra. I just think he's a genius, you know. But, like, as a personality, I like Ime. I like the hard-ass, like, I like that type of coach. Like, I think it's fun. I think it's good for your team. So,
just from the start, it seemed something was off. Did you get a feel for that's why it's so hard to get kind of footing and into the game the normal way, the usual way?
Yeah, it looked like the moment was too big for a lot of players out there. So it looked like they're in headlights a little bit. Either look soft or scared, one or the other. two bad things for a lot of our guys to have, and didn't rise up to I thought we would.
Jesus.
Oh, he is the NBA's number one immigrant dad. Like, he just calling them, like, I'm not gonna say it. So
wow.
It's the eyes, man. He looks like he's kind of terrifying, you know what I mean? Where it's just like,
he is terrifying.
Yeah.
Look at him. Look at what type of player he was when he was in the NBA. For those that never watched him on the San Antonio Spurs, like, he was a tough, defensive-minded guy. Like, he was a dog. And honestly, like, he is terrifying. If Jalen Green looks like a Darren Headlights again, he's gonna take his bae mama. You know what I mean? That's Ime Udoka. You No, he doesn't. I couldn't wait to get that one off. But you know, don't mess with Ime Udoka, man. It's a bad man. Bad man.
Oh.
I couldn't resist.
All right, let's get to the goons start that me.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Here we go.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing much, man. I went to my dad's and watched that game. And I feel like Clay didn't get enough flowers because dude hits two threes in the corner or like off to the left side. And he's just, like Sam, you've said it, he's just still like the best shooter, like form-wise in the league. When he releases it, you know if it's going in or not. Like it's, whether it's like, you know, like he's in the paint and you can kind of like, he's leaning, but you know, like it's Klay Thompson, like Killer Klay. That's my favorite nickname for him. Not game six, like this week, but Killer Klay is my favorite nickname for him. But just wanted to say that, but also like one of my favorite things to watch with him is him developing like the skill of initiating offense. Like the way he like creates offense for like lob guys or anyone that can just drive to the paint is just fun to watch on the back end of his career. The way he can like find offense for other guys and also like still put up shots. That's fun to watch. TJD is just, oh God. It's like, think like some of the best moments. And I know it's going to sound like dramatic, but think some of the best moments in like Warriors, like the run history, like mm-hmm. It feels like watching that again after the first half of the season, like watching him play and like be good. It's just like, okay, there's like a little bit of hope. If it feels a little bit like We Believe Warriors only because they've been so terrible the first half of the season. So that's been fun to watch. Moody is still a baller. I'm scared for what's going to happen to him in the playoffs because I think he's just going to fall into the pit of the bench. So I guess like my only question is, and you guys kind of touched on it, but it's more so like if they have to pick over like Moody and Kuminga at the end of it, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, everything works with Moody in there. Do they trade Kuminga?
It's a little early. Ebony, appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, you have a good evening too. I think Steve Kerr said it a bunch of times. Oh, we have 10, 12 good players. Oh, we have so many good players. They do have a lot of good players. How many great players do they have, Andy?
One.
Yeah. Let's turn a couple of these good players into a great player. And I don't really want to trade any of them, but I'm not going to be mad if Moody and Wiggins turn into a Paul George.
Sam, Moody and Wiggins isn't turning into Paul George, so you can't escape the conversation of Kuminga. That's
the I'm not mad if Kuminga.
The question is, Kuminga become Paul George? You're okay with that? That's the question.
I am okay with it. I've always been okay with my issue's always been I wouldn't trade him for a role player, but they need to get a star. I'm sorry, it's just that simple. They need to get a impact player, and whatever they give up for it, you know what? It doesn't really matter.
Can we do the breakdown here too? Because it always. You want to trade Wiggins, you want to trade Moody. Like, hey, those guys aren't as good as Kuminga. You're not getting anything for Wiggins, and you're not getting anything.
Are you sure you get anything for Kuminga? You think other teams aren't watching this?
I think so. I think other teams can convince certainly more than what you would get with Wiggins and Moody. And of course, it would be like,
but is it
would be like Wiggins. It would be like Kuminga and like picks, right? For that, I think that's getting you a lot more. Like, you're not getting a star. For Wiggins and Moody. Those guys aren't anything.
I guess my only feeling is I like all the Warriors young players. None of them are franchise guys.
I've been on this hill. I will die on this hill.
And I could see Pajemski becoming an all-star. I really could. But let's not pretend he's Wembanyama. Let's not pretend he's even Chet Holmgren. Like, you know what I mean?
All-star is high for odds. Like, I'll be honest. Like, same
with I'm not saying he's going to be. I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked if he developed into that.
And
but
even
saying,
that's high. That's just what I'm saying.
Of course
it
is. The most likely scenario is he's just going to be a good starter for a long time.
And I think the same with Kuminga, by the way. And people get pissed. It's just, I think the same of both of them.
But my point is they don't have anyone other than Steph Curry who's untouchable, right? Yeah. The only reason I'm pretty high on Pods is he's this impactful when he like has the body of a 12-year-old. Like wait until he like give him a couple, like it's easier to put on muscle than it is to develop a brain. Sorry, it just is, you know? He has touch. He'll figure his shot out a little more than it is. Anyway, that's enough. This isn't the pause.
Next. This is an off-season pod. We got to do this a month and a half from now as we have this conversation. Yeah. Let's go. Who's next?
Well, SFA drummer's been waiting a while, so we got to get to him first.
Yeah, let's go.
Our guy. It's been a minute.
What's up? What's up, Sam? What's up, Andy?
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Were you at the game?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I went to the game. Yes, shout out Game Time app.
Yeah,
I did promo code Light Years.
Nice.
I still scored some low tickets though, so it looked out. But man, you know, I thought, you know, all the like the Rockets was like, you know, calling out the Warriors. I thought it was gonna be a competitive game, and it was just like old times. The Warriors just running shop on them all the time. I'm like, oh my god, man! Like, and then Clay on another heater. I went to the game in November when they won their first road season game, like 2 years ago, the championship season or championship defense season. And Clay was on the heater then, and then he was on the heater tonight. I was like, oh my god, two times in a row! I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, but I liked the game. I liked how they, you know, just took care of business tonight. I wish Steve Kerr would have took him out earlier. I mean, like the Rockets wasn't coming back, man. They was throwing up so many bricks, man. They could have built 12 homes out here. And do you know these idiots had the nerve to boo Chris Paul when he checked in?
Wow. They booed the point guard?
It wasn't too long ago where we heard if CP3 was healthy, we would have won. That was the only guy that had heart on that team, man. Houston, man, y'all shocked the heck out of me.
The only dog on that team was Chris Paul, actually. And PJ
They booed
that man. But you know, it'd be really funny if he gets a ring with us, you know, and Houston is still ringless since VHS tapes. But you know, let's keep the good vibes going. I believe in the Warriors, and Sam, you tripping, man. We not caping for no Tatis. We have a power hitter now. We have Soler power. We don't have to cape for anybody else power hitters coming in to try to hit the Coke bottle. Like Soler and Galarraga, they should have a nameplate. They're the ones to do it.
I appreciate you
guys.
Man.
Have a good day. Go Warriors. I will.
Yes, sir. That was the best call we've had in freaking – that's call of the week, call of the month. I don't know. That was awesome. Man, they booed Chris Paul. I forgot to ask him about the crowd, actually, too. It feels like a big Steph contingent all the time. But, man, that's funny.
I just hit up my guy, Roosh, who went to the game.
Yeah.
And he denies that there was Chris Paul booing. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to side with our guy, SFB Drummer, who would never lie on such a thing.
Never.
Whereas Roosh – he's my guy, but he's a Rockets fan.
He was definitely leading the booing.
He's about to reply with a, I wasn't booing, but, you know, anyway.
He does love Chris Paul, though. So
he is a Chris Paul guy. Yeah. What's up?
He's saying delete the footage from the fans booing. But, man. It's definitely great. I will have to acknowledge that it was fun to imagine the idea that Jonathan Kuminga, Wiggins, and Draymond could work, but eventually we just kind of saw the writing on the wall. It's a little bit too hard for Draymond to keep everything together when he's the only frontcourt guy with a brain. It is what it is, man. It's like, so now we're just waiting for the offseason to see like what we can get. I don't think we're going to get Paul George, by the way. It's like, that's just too pie in the sky for me. We do need a second star, but you know, I actually think that the time to get a second star has passed. personally. So not to get on my Geo back, but you know, I think the Todd but that's another time for another thing. It's like we have Trace Jackson Davis. We have the next Giannis anyway, so it's all good. We don't have to worry about Paul George. It's okay. Everything will be all right, especially when we got the next Ichiro Suzuki in the Bay, Jungkook Lee, who's going to hit 300 for the next 5 years, and we don't have to worry about the Dodgers getting a World Series ring. So it is what it is. We're just happy in the Bay right now.
What a take. That's what I needed. Yes, sir. Good man. Born in Japan, by the way, Jungkook Lee, if you didn't know. He is Korean, but he's born in Japan.
What the fuck does that do for you?
Next Ichiro, you know, the alignment, it's all there. It all makes sense. He's been a fun watch.
He's good. Team's
entertaining.
I will say, you never know when a player moves from another league, how good they'll be. And he looks, quite frankly, better than a bunch of guys who already play in the US.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Giants got some rough hitters right now.
Speaking of which, I like my guy Mike Crunchy, but you gotta go, my guy. We have to make room for Matos.
He just had his kid too. I kind of feel bad for him, but
hey, 6 month paternity leave. Enjoy.
Congratulations. Congrats on the kid, but you know, we gotta make room.
Appreciate you, Tashaun. Have a great evening, man.
Thanks, man. We'll talk more Giants when the games are we need a couple more weeks of games, but you know,
I'm feeling good on the Warriors. Here's what I would consider success. I would consider getting out of the play-in success, and then we turn to the off season where my standards get significantly fucking higher. You know,
well, but they've beaten you down.
You know what I mean? It's like you work in sales. There's like micro goals and macro goals. Sometimes you just got to take what you can. You can't just win the whole thing overnight. Take the mini win, enjoy your life, and then, you know.
Can I give you a macro? I want to see this. I don't even know if this is a micro goal or macro goal, but I want to see how Kuminga fits into this. I really do. And I want to see if it changes.
When the games fucking matter, right?
Yeah. I mean, the games matter now. So honestly, if he comes back tomorrow, like how does this fit? Let's say Wiggins is starting, he comes off the bench. Like, does it work? Do they close with him? Do they close with TJD? Like, is it a Chris Paul thing? Is it a Pajemski guy? Just that's actually more important to me than like they go to the plane and they lose because, you know, De'Aaron Fox goes for 50 and they can't guard him. Like, that, it's fine. But like, to me, it's like, can they make it fit? Because I think Tachyon might be right. There might be no second star for the Warriors. So if they can make this fit and Kuminga becomes that 2B, 2-3 star, like maybe it works. All right, we got Gio. Wow, deep sigh immediately. Yeah,
dude, I will not accept anything less than Paul George next summer or like Ingram or like Towns. Like, I'm sorry. You had like 2 years
to
not fuck this up. Okay, but I'm just saying, Sam. Anything less than those guys, I would accept. If they try to convince us like the MLE is the big get next summer, I'm done. Like, there's no way. Like, Paul George, Towns, or like Ingram, that is what I want to see next summer. Like, nothing less than that, because I'm sick and tired of this bullshit, dude. I don't want to hear like
we get Dante back.
We tried, but it was too expensive. Blah blah blah. Dude, just give me a start next summer, bro. That's all I want next summer. Anyways, like,
okay,
good game. I mean, this is a good game, honestly. Like, because this was probably the best game of the season because it was like an actual professional win. Like, they just won the game that they should have won. So, best game of the season. That's it. That's my take, honestly. Anyways,
appreciate you, Gio. And you know, ultimately, I agree with you, but we'll save it for the off season. I say we end it there. I think that's it for the night. Appreciate everyone. Have a good one.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.